Welcome to the Fundraising Talent Podcast. I'm Kyla Daw, and I'm glad you decided to join us on today's episode of the show that is shaping how the nonprofit sector thinks about fundraising talent. Rather than advice from experts, our listeners want to hear the insights and ideas from those who, just like them, are on the front lines every day, building meaningful relationships that translate into meaningful support for causes that they and their donors care about. Every week, we invite our guests to have a real conversation about what it means to be a fundraising professional. We're after a greater understanding of what it means to be one of the sector's critically important yet least understood roles, while giving honest answers to our profession's most difficult questions. Thank you for joining us in this episode of the Fundraising Talent Podcast. Here's your host, author, fundraiser, and master trainer, Jason Lewis.
Hi, podcast listeners. Thank you for joining us today for this special Thanksgiving week series where we're talking about leadership transition in the nonprofit sector. Before I introduce my guest, I want to share an update about our traveling road show. This year, we are extremely grateful for our partners in Toronto, Raleigh, Central Massachusetts, Philadelphia, New York City, and Detroit. Each of these locations afforded us ideal training spaces. They were fantastic hosts and the opportunity to share the vision of responsive fundraising. In 2020, mark my words, we will be hosting 12 stops on the Responsive Fundraising Roadshow, all in partnership with local organizations who share our vision for a more thoughtful, holistic, and sustainable approach to fundraising. If your organization would like to partner with us in 2020, we would love to hear from you. There is no cost to host the Responsive Fundraising Seminar. In fact, we will reimburse any expense your organization incurs, and we will provide your board with a complimentary board training while we are in town. Being a host of the Responsive Fundraising Seminar is a great opportunity to demonstrate to your nonprofit community that your organization is thinking big picture, long term, and wants to ensure that your organization is a place where fundraising can thrive. If you'd like more information, please don't hesitate to reach out to me at any time. Hi, Janice. Thank you for being today's guest on the Fundraising Talent Podcast. We have been talking about leadership transition in the nonprofit sector all week, and after sort of connecting with you here this morning, before we hit the record button, I'm especially excited about this particular conversation. Before we dive into today's topic, would you mind just introducing yourself to our listeners?
My name is Janice O'Rourke, and I am the executive director at the Milk Bank in Indianapolis, Indiana.
So, Janice, I have never heard of a milk bank. I can give you a lot of I can tell you the backstory with my wife and stuff on a different over a cup of coffee or something. But I think my wife would really appreciate that as a mother of four children. Would you tell us what a milk bank is? It's fascinating to as you were briefly summarizing it before we hit the record button.
Well, we are one of 28 nonprofit human milk banks across North America. And the milk banks collect breast milk from women that will donate it to us. We pasteurize it, and then we provide it to babies in the neonatal intensive care units, especially those whose own mom can't provide human milk because it's best for the babies as they're trying to grow and develop and go home.
So is there a... Yeah, you've got to tell me more about that. Here's dad. I am a dad and I'll goober this up and sort of stuff. But breastfeeding was such an important thing for my wife, and my son, our oldest son, didn't, as you understand, I'm sure, doing the work you do, he didn't cooperate with the process, I guess you could say. So I can think about how important that was to my wife, and I can only imagine how important that is to have to be for any number of mothers out there. So do you interact with the mothers, or is this just an interaction, say, with the hospital?
No, we interact with the mothers. Excuse me. When a mom has extra milk and wants to donate it, She'll get in touch with us. She'll find us on social media. She'll find us in a lot of different ways. And she goes through a screening process. And that process includes us doing like an initial screen just to make sure that she doesn't have anything that would preclude her from donating.
Sure.
And then she fills out a medical history. She has blood work done, and once we have all of that information from her, then we can go ahead and approve her. We contact her every 2 months to make sure that we're following up with mom and that, she's not having any problems that we need to know about. So we have a lot of interaction with the moms.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I definitely will share with my wife Erica here later this afternoon that I talked to Janice at the Milk Bank. I'm sure she's familiar with what you guys do all over the country. I mean, you said it's a network. So when you say 28, are we talking about major cities or that's what I have to imagine?
Yeah, they're mostly in major cities. They really don't have to be because the milk can get to us any number of ways.
The topic we're talking about today, which is particularly relevant for you, and I won't let the cat out of the bag, but we're talking about leadership transition in the nonprofit sector. And I've had a lot of people this week. You're one of 10 conversations that I've had. We've talked about the way that we describe it, how we honor it, what expectations we should have for the younger people who want these roles, who don't want these roles. At a very big, high-level macro view, what's your take on the issue?
Of transition?
Yeah.
I would say that at this point, it's difficult. It's difficult for the person that is in the role to let go. It is difficult to bring someone new in, especially when you have a staff that is very cohesive and very focused on one specific mission. And it's just difficult on, I think, an emotional level.
And why? And let's go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. Where are you at in this process? Because I think that's particularly for our listeners. We have not talked to anyone who's wearing your immediate shoes right now.
Well, as of today, I'm 34 days from retirement.
Yeah. So what does that mean? I mean, and you said you've been there. You told me earlier you've been there for 12 years. So what has that transition prep sort of process looked like? Has it been well orchestrated? Has it been sloppy, messy? What's the process looked like?
I think it's been slow. I let my board know in January that I was leaving at the end of December this year.
Yeah.
And we didn't really start looking real hard until September. There is a new executive director starting in the organization on December 11th.
Yeah.
And that will give me 8 days with her.
Right.
So, yeah, it's going to be a difficult transition.
Do you think because the type of organization that you are, because there's 28 other organizations like you around the country, is your replacement sort of coming from the same world so that he or she sort of knows what they're doing and they can come in and assume that post with a certain degree of clarity as to what it is you folks do?
No, not at all.
Okay.
This is such a specialized area.
Yeah.
And when you look at like the nonprofit world in general,
yeah,
you know, nonprofits all have a lot of things in common.
Sure.
And we have some things in common with other nonprofits, but there are a lot of things that we don't. You know, we don't rely a lot on fundraising for our income. We have a product. And, you know, I hate to call it that, but
yeah,
we have donor milk that the hospitals pay a processing fee for. And that is what covers all of our operating costs. So we have to fundraise for things like new equipment. Our equipment is very expensive. We need a $45,000 pasteurizer. Last couple years ago, we bought an $80,000 milk analyzer. So our equipment is very expensive, and there isn't a lot of money out there for that type of infrastructure. So we have issues in trying to find people that will fund organizations like the Milk Bank.
So that tends to be the I've had one other conversation this week that drifted relatively quickly to the responsibility of fundraising. And I'm going to take us there because you've got such a short time period, 34 days and 8 days with the incoming new executive. How are, and with say 40,000, you know, these huge, we'll call them periodic expenses for, in new equipment. How are you going to transition, or can you, can't transition those relationships that are funding that sort of stuff. Am I right?
Right. But the person that we have coming in has a strong fundraising background, which is what I was hoping that the board would hire as my replacement, because my strength is operations.
Okay.
I have a healthcare background, and I also have a management background. I also have a philanthropy background. So, you know, my strength is operations, and it was my feeling that we needed someone to run the organization that had a broader vision of where we would fit in, not someone that can come in and you know, run all of the little pieces of the organization, but someone with that bigger vision. And I think we have found that person.
So speaking for myself, I've been consulting for the last 6 years, but in the last role that I was in, I was that young fundraiser who was hired in to assume responsibilities for a retiring CEO, founding CEO. What was interesting in that, and I say interesting and just trying to offer a very neutral word, what was interesting about that experience is that because I was the externally focused fundraising CEO, if you will, the organization missed me. The organization wanted that internal presence of the CEO that my predecessor offered. Has your organization talked about that?
I'm not exactly sure that I understand the question.
So,
go ahead.
So if we just characterize the CEO, if we sort of oversimplify the CEO as an internal versus an external role, my predecessor, like yourself, was more engaged and more operational. She was involved in the day-to-day of the organization much more intimately than the expectation was now going to be for me as the incoming CEO, who was more externally focused, externally towards the community and doing more fundraising. And so where the fallout came for us at that organization was that the management team, the people on the faculty, that's where that gap was left. They wanted a senior leader who saw them, and I was out in the community doing what I did best. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that I have a strong leadership team in a lot of different areas. I have someone that runs what we consider our production area who is very knowledgeable. I have a director of clinical operations that is very knowledgeable in the science behind breastfeeding and human milk. So I think, and you know, there are the others that are part of the management team are also very strong. So I think that they will welcome someone that is going to kind of stay out of their area.
Yeah.
And, you know, is going to want some information, but not everything. They're not going to be like I am when I walk back every day and I say, okay, how much milk do we have? You know, how much of this, how much of that? What are you doing today?
Yeah.
You know, this person is not going to be like that.
Yeah.
The new person is going to be more of a, okay, where do we go now? You know,
right.
the what's next question.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was working with a client just a couple of years ago, and a lot of it was about it was a longtime CEO, and she wasn't going anywhere. But the idea of her sort of getting out of the way, not leaving, but getting out of the way just enough so that they could begin to the leadership team could begin to spread their wings and really begin to flourish and shine themselves. It sounds like what you're talking about is that they're going to be able to sort of assume greater levels of responsibility. Okay, so you've been in the nonprofit sector, you've done a career, you're about to retire. Imagine you're at, this is a question I've been asking all week, you're at a local association meeting, the AFP or something of the sort, And there's a 26 to 28-year-old young woman. Let's say she's a woman. She could be a young man. It could be a young man as well. And he is absolutely convinced he's ready to take on the world and assume the ED spot at some local charity. What's your advice to him?
My advice would be to get some more experience. I think that at 28, the amount of experience that you have is probably very low. Your education is great. I know that it is very helpful in assuming any type of leadership role, but I do think it's better to start out a little bit below the NED and work your way up, because there are so many things that you don't learn in your education that you learn in the real world.
Is there anything that this person, so again, going to the sort of the fundraising sort of topic, my advice tends to be to some of these, you know, overly anxious, aspiring young leaders, that they just don't know how to sit across the lunch table with the donor. What would your advice be to them as it relates specifically to fundraising?
To find a mentor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And see how that mentor operates, to get to know the community that you live in and get to know the people that can help your organization the most.
Right, right. With 34 days, I don't want to ask you to share anything you don't want to, but what are you worried about?
I'm worried that 8 days with the new executive director isn't enough. I'm worried that the staff is going to feel a little bit adrift and that they're going to want to come back to me. And I have been telling them since I said I was going to retire that once I'm done, I'm done, because I don't want there to be any kind of division between, this is the new executive director, but I'm going back to the old executive director because she knows more than you do. I don't want that. I think that the team here needs to bond, and I'm afraid that it may not happen. I think it will, because the person that they've hired is very excited to be here and very excited to learn what we do. And she's very good at what she's been doing in the past. So I think that it will work out. But, you know, my biggest fear is always that we're a fairly small milk bank in the scheme of things. When you start to compare other states and other milk banks and the areas that they serve, you know, Indiana itself is a small state. And we do serve states around us, but there are, you know, 27 other milk banks. And so my biggest fear for the milk bank is that it's not going to survive.
Do you think because, so the nonprofit sector, large number of our employees in the nonprofit sector happen to be women, and 70, sometimes 80% in any particular group of fundraising professionals tend to be women. And you're an organization that's particularly oriented towards the needs and the care of women as it relates to their children. Does that, because you're a sort of a more woman-oriented, if that's the right way to put that, organization, does that make you better or not so better at this transition sort of process?
I'm not sure that it has that much of an effect on it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it would matter with the new ED if they were male or female.
Yeah.
When they came into the milk bank, it will depend on how well they buy into the mission. And you don't have to be female to buy into our mission.
But the way you were describing your relationship with the staff, would they, so I'm a 42-year-old big guy who's particularly masculine. Are they going to feel like if they had hired me, are they going to feel like I could be the guy, that I could wear your shoes? And I'm a remarkable fundraiser. Let's just say that. I'm a great fundraiser, and I don't hug really well. I'm not a huggable guy. So do you think that if I walked in the door instead of this ED, that they're really going to feel like I can fill your shoes?
I think that you would have to build up a lot of trust with them.
Yeah.
And they would have to see that you believe in what we do and that you're not just here because you're a good fundraiser and this was a job that was available.
So, Janice, before I let you go, I'm curious about your plans going forward. Are you going to stay involved with the organization? Are you and your spouse going to hop on the road and travel the country or travel the world and never be seen again? What's your plans going forward? And what expectations? Like that's sort of the second part of that question is, what expectations does that board have of you? And maybe even maybe the expectations that new CEO might have of you?
Well, my plans for the future are to take some time so that maybe I can sleep in a little bit in the morning. We already have a trip planned for the month of February, and I'm really looking forward to that. My husband's been retired for almost 3 years, so that's going to be an adjustment because he's been home for 3 years and I haven't been there. So having the two of us there is going to be an adjustment for both of us. But I think it's going to be good. There's a food rescue organization here in Indianapolis that I'm planning to volunteer for. My background is I'm a registered dietitian, so organizations that deal with feeding the people that don't have the means to feed themselves are important to me. And as far as my organization goes, again, I will not continue to have contact with them, other than maybe on a personal basis, but I don't want any confusion. So I'm not going to come back and be on the board. I'm not going to be here for any type of questions. I've talked to the board a little bit about providing some consultation to the executive director, but only the executive director once I'm gone. So that's pretty much where I'm headed. I am looking forward to being able to spend more time with friends, and I am very happy to retire. Took me a while to get there, but I'm happy to retire.
Yeah, what does that say? Before I let you go, I'm stretching. I'm keeping this going. I hope our listeners will bear with me. But what does that say about who you are? The deliberateness with which you're saying to that board that, hey, I'm out of here, and I'm sure you're saying it much more gracefully than that. But what does that say about you? What is that strength that says I've done my time or whatever? I've made my contribution and I'm ready to go and move on. You know, as a consultant who's out there interviewing people all the time, where am I finding that strength? What am I picking up on or need to pick up on?
Well, I think that I'm pretty clear about what I want and where I want to go from here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm also really clear about the need for just a little bit of continuity, but the need in my organization for a new thought, a new vision, someone that's not me to lead the organization into the next decade. And I've felt, I think, two or three times since I've been executive director here that maybe what the milk bank needed is a new director with a new vision. I'm sure of it now. I'm hoping that the person that they found has it. And it's, you know, it's my hope for the milk bank that they're going to prosper and continue to grow and take a look at other things that can be done by a milk bank to help the breastfeeding community, to help the low birth weight babies, to help decrease the infant mortality rate, all of the things that milk banks are supposed to be doing, but maybe on a broader scale.
Is it that cliched sort of term, you know, are you completely at peace with it, or is there something else? If your sister, one of your family members asks you tomorrow at the Thanksgiving, what sort of phrase are you going to say to sort of say, yep, I'm okay with this, I'm cool with this?
I guess it's time.
It's time.
You know,
okay.
It's time. It's time for me to retire. I'm definitely of age, and it's time.
That's interesting. Okay. Oh, Janice, it has been a pleasure. It's fascinating. I get the benefit of listening to these conversations again. But that little nugget of insight there on the back end is going to have me simmering, for the rest of the day. Janice, if there is someone out there who's listened to our conversation and thought it was insightful as well and thought, I'm going to reach out to her and have a conversation, how might you suggest that they, do that?
I would suggest that they go to our website, which is www.themilkbank.org, and reach out to me through the website. There are a lot of, you know, connections there. So the website is the best way to, number one, get more information about us as a nonprofit and what we do, and to reach out to me for any type of information that they want.
Thank you. This has been a wonderful conversation, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Have you read the book that nonprofit leaders and fundraising professionals alike are calling a must read? In this pocket manifesto for today's fundraising professional, Jason deconstructs why many of us find ourselves working for organizations where we cannot accomplish our goals. These same organizations are notorious for rapid turnover and high donor attrition. To avoid this all too familiar path, Jason offers direction from those who want to be recognized and admired for their work. The war for fundraising talent challenges our ingrained beliefs and assumptions about how effective fundraising really works, and it questions the prevailing wisdom hiring decisions and donor behavior. Published by Gatekeepers Press, The War for Fundraising Talent is now available on Amazon and other major retailers. We want to thank you for listening to today's episode of the Fundraising Talent Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's show and hope you will come back for next week's interview, where we will discuss with those on the front line who are defining what it means to be a fundraising professional. If you'd like to be a guest on the Fundraising Talent Podcast, visit our Facebook page or email Jason at jason@lewisfundraising.com. In your email, be sure to tell us about where you work and why you believe you would be a great addition to the upcoming lineup. Thank you again for joining us today, and we look forward to you being a part of the continuing conversation as we shape how the nonprofit sector thinks about fundraising talent.